Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. We're right in the middle of the pack here. It's the Sports Talk Saturdays podcast live from Oakland, California. Here's truly Mark Mancini here in Los Angeles, Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, Scott Morgenroth in sunny South Florida, 347-205-9631. This show goes by quick. There's already 90 of you on here, and we'll get to you all if we can. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, I think I know where Bruce is going. He's been probably sucking down those, what do they call them, energy drinks, man? I'm trying to think, that have wings.
Red Bull.
Red Bulls.
Red Bull.
Because the Warriors won another title. They're fourth, and basically Steve Kerr's got 9-5 as a player, 4 as a coach, and also your boys just shut my Pirates out last night in Pittsburgh. So why don't you let everybody know how you're actually feeling, how can people get a hold of you, and then we'll get it over to Scott.
Well, you spoke of wings and Red Bull. Yes, I'm flying high. I am at OleRoller 91978 at gmail.com, also on Facebook. I'll turn it over to Scott briefly. He needs to explain himself here.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Tribune South, website www.southfloridatribune.com. But most of all, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Lots of great shows. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please, peeps, go out there and subscribe to it. It's free. It takes a little effort, but Mark Mancini and I have a lot of things working on, and Bruce will be on there soon enough before he can speak. So please subscribe to South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Lots of great shows in the past and in the pipeline. Thank you, guys. Glad to be back on again.
Well, Bruce, you got the first topic, so we'll sit back and we'll wait for you on it, and we'll, give it over to Scott,
well,
and I'll jump in with one. Okay.
Let me add one thing. I'm a diet Mountain Dew guy, so I'm flying high, too. I drink that stuff like water. So that, and if you're in North Carolina, Sun Drop is a drink out there, but just that stuff makes Red Bull and diet Mountain Dew look like nothing. So go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. Well, I'll skip the Henry Winkler, Herschel Walker feud, and I'll just go straight to the Warriors. I'm very, very, very ecstatic about this. I think the Celtic fans that were really, really dumb as far as motivating the Warriors, they wanted that last game there, and they crushed them. And Kerr's manipulation of the team going into the playoffs was one of those where he's not scared of not having the home field or home court advantage, He went through injuries. There was and everybody coalesced at the right time. Everybody came back, and the roster was full when it was about playoff time was hitting. So he wasn't trying to get the most wins out of it. He put his young players in there. He just made sure he was in a good position in the playoffs to win, and that is what happened. And the veterans, they performed. I mean, Clay was a little weak, but that's understandable considering, how long he'd been out. And Steph Curry came in looking like he was in the best shape of his life. I absolutely think that this is the best championship they've won. This is the best championship for Kerr. They're older. They're still good. I still think they have a couple of more in them, especially with the young players developing. The problem they're going to have going forward, and that's going to be for ownership to decide, is signing Poole and being able to keep Wiggins. And that's where the salary cap gets on my nerves a bit. If the Warriors just sat there and signed free agents all the time, I would get that. I understand that. The only time they've done it was Kevin Durant. And in all honesty, I'm kind of glad he's not around. He's not necessarily a team guy. He's a great player. And I've said it before, he's never going to get he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but he's never going to get his number retired by anybody. And that's that. I don't know why you'd want to leave that team. Their problem is really keeping Wiggins and Poole. They've got a couple of young players that are developing, they're going to have the they're going to have to deal with the contract thing. Does Joe Lacob want to, you know, pay a huge luxury tax? But they traded for Wiggins. You know, this isn't free about free agency. This is a homegrown team. Nobody else wanted Wiggins. You know, we took on a fat contract and traded D'Angelo Russell, and we got the draft pick for Jonathan Kuminga. Couldn't be happier with the organization. So anybody else has any comments on basketball? I think the Celtics were totally outclassed, and their fan base, I think, motivated the Warriors to do destruction. Any comments?
Yeah,
Scott,
Sure. I don't know. I think it's got to be the most gratifying championship, because after all, they came from worst to first in a matter of a couple of years. I believe Jordan Poole is out of the University of Michigan. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you're talking
about
a former Wolverine that won a championship, and there aren't many of those that have won that have actually won an NBA championship. Well, he puts himself in a spot. You're right. The Wiggins situation, to me, they look like geniuses for taking him out of Minnesota and turning that into a piece. You know, Steph Curry deserves the MVP. Finally got his due. Do I think he'll ever be a better point guard than Magic Johnson? No, I don't think so. But think about Steph Curry. The guy played out of Davidson College in Charlotte, North Carolina, not known for a powerhouse type of situation. Davidson College isn't the North Carolina Tar Heels or the Duke Blue Devils. They're Davidson College. And you know what? To his credit, the guy gets his due. He's got four championships in the Golden State Warriors. I had a chance to meet Steve Kerr when he was with the Chicago Bulls, and I knew he's a smart player then. Of course, now he's got nine championships. He's rivaling one more championship. He's in double digits. And do I think the Warriors can repeat next year? I don't think so. I don't know anybody in the West that can really seriously contend. Phoenix, what do they think about letting DeAndre Ayton go in a sign and trade? What do you have there? So you weaken yourself there. I don't know how good Memphis and Minnesota are. The Lakers are a little ways away. So I wouldn't bet against the Warriors. I mean, no way. Not at least with the core of their players going. Well-deserved. They earned it. And they did it the hard way, and they closed it out in Boston. But more power to them. You know, I'll give them their props. I think my all-time favorite Golden State Warrior was Rick Barry. And I was pictured with him many years ago. That was back in the day, back in the 70s, where probably a lot of people aren't even born by then. But
well, that's a good one to break. You know, great comment on that. And, yeah, Nate Thurman back then, boy, that was a team too. But I think the Warriors, what Steve Kerr had his best coaching this year. This team was, you know, everybody was talking about Phoenix and, you know, some of these other teams. The Celtics just ran out of gas. I thought the Celtics were going to win this thing. Coming back and rolling Brooklyn four in a row and then beating Milwaukee and Miami in game sevens. I just thought they would have enough and to put their 18th NBA title up there. But the Warriors, you know, when you looked at who they played, and you're right, Bruce, a couple of years removed from, you know, finishing pretty much dead on the bottom there. They resurrected themselves. Ownership, Myers, the GM there, Kerr. They went out, got Wiggins. You know, brought Iguodala back. I mean, this team is going to be hard pressed, like Scott said, to, you know, not repeat. It's tough to repeat in this league. Is this team as good as the '80s, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Bulls, the Celtics? I don't know. But, you know, this is a team that, you know, when you look at this new millennium, I think they're probably better than the Miami Heat, who won some titles down there in Miami with Bosch and Wade and LeBron. Four is impressive. And yeah.
Here's where all of us get into trouble when you compare eras, okay? One was more of a physical brand of basketball than the other. So are they better? I don't know. That's hard to say. I mean, Steve Kerr, to me, is just brilliant. He really is. And the thing is that I'm really glad I have a chance to say this. I've never seen anybody as dumb as Kevin Durant to pick, okay, Kyrie Irving over Steph Curry. Are you out of your mind? And I think what's so good about this championship is Kevin Durant's looking at the fact he could have had another ring, didn't. And this is one of those prove-it type of series where, guess what, Steph Curry got the last lap. All right, Kevin, I'm sure you enjoy the Brooklyn Bridge. I'd rather have the Bay Bridge and the, what was the other one?
Golden Gate.
Golden Gate Bridge. Give me the Golden Gate Bridge over the Brooklyn Bridge. And by the way, another championship in my piece of hardware. So it, to me, Steph Curry looks like a genius. And I'll tell you what, Kevin Durant looks like a GOAT, but not the greatest of all time. GOAT, literally, for this. So I have more power to you.
Well, you bring up a great point, Scott, and you know, but here's where I go with it, and I'll get Bruce involved in it, and we'll get some topics going because there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, I look at the NBA years back, and, there was guys that played the game, and watching Pete Maravich, the New Orleans Jazz were a garbage dumpster fire, but you'd go see, Pistol Pete put up 50, 55 points. You know, you had the Jordans, you had the Birds. That Celtic team only lost one game in 86, I believe, on their home court, the Portland, during the regular season. You had the Houstons, you had the Ralph Sampsons, you had Moses Malones and all these guys. I think the NBA's changed today. I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me to sit there and watch it because I think there's no defense being played. It's gone political in some ways, and it's a tough sport to watch compared to what I saw, in my earlier days. Bruce, I don't know what you think on that. That's the same thing with baseball. You know, and before you answer that, I still think today you can give, Giancarlo Stanton an aluminum bat. He still would put it in Dodger Stadium's parking lot as far as Willie Stargell put two over the Union 76 sign. So, the sports have changed today. Nobody can compare themselves to the Cincinnati Reds in 1976. Where the hell is that team 40 years later? Bruce, I'll give you the floor. Give it over to Scott to comment.
Well, of course, you can say this to ownership or commissioners, I should say, monkey around with the rules. And sometimes it changes, gets more favorable to the offense, which is what they always seem to try to do, which is something, put it this way, a baseball game. I don't like seeing 12-11 or 13-12. I like 4-2 or 5-2, whatever. I don't want to see more than 5 runs scored a game. I like seeing good pitching, that kind of thing. And also getting back on the Warriors, one last thing as far as Phoenix, and you mentioned DeAndre Ayton. The Warriors are going to have Wiseman back next year probably. So there's also going to be a center for people to deal with. And as far as Durant, and I think the Brooklyn Nets really underachieved against the Celtics, and that was basically – that's what I'm trying to get to here. Basically, it's just dysfunctional. But going back to what you were saying, Mark, I think there's the monkeying around with the rules a lot has changed things, and that's on the commissioners. I'm not going to go – the era thing, that's a tough one, and I kind of agree with Scott on that. It's just doing comparisons, that does not work for me. I can't say it's unwatchable. But I admit I have seen some things that you probably wouldn't see back in the 70s. And a lot of this, of course, is good, is for some, especially in football, is for player protection and stuff. So, there's the meddling kind of gets to me, but I'm not going to make a statement yet on who's better and who isn't, or how much more unwatchable it is, because I think the Warriors are an exciting team to watch, and there are other teams that are dreadful. So, wow. Portland Trailblazers come to mind.
I'll do it for you. Bruce? I say it is unwatchable, okay? And I'll take it a step further. The Detroit Pistons, and I covered the Bad Boys back in the 80s and 90s, and they were actually a head collision away from getting to another finals when Joe Dumars and Vinnie Johnson collided heads at the Boston Garden, and the Pistons subsequently lost that series to the Celtics, and they ended up in the NBA finals. So I will say it is unwatchable, Bruce. I mean, who the heck really wants to go out there and watch a jump shooting contest? There's nothing wrong with a conventional three-point play. Drive to the hole, get the three-point play, layup. Hello, that's how it used to be played, okay? And, Mark, I love your analogy about the aluminum bat at Dodger Stadium and the Union 76 sign, because that's a great one, too. So I don't know about the pitcher's duel versus the other one. That's subject for one's interpretation. But I will say it's unwatchable. If it wasn't so unwatchable, why do you think Silver would be talking about doing a play-in tournament or a mid-season tournament and all that to try to jazz up a game? That was good.
Ludicrous.
That could be gimmicky. You know, that's a joke. Yeah. I mean, and then to shorten the season, really? Okay. And then the attitudes of the players. So, yeah, I think it isn't watchable. If I want to go out there and watch a bunch of jump shots, I can go right down the street, watch a bunch of kids over in a high school yard and do that. So I realize that, you know, Wiseman is a factor in the middle. I love the traditional center versus the old standard that the center that goes out there and stands out there in nine Field of Dreams territory in the outfield and shoot them for way downtown, bang or clank, depending on what happens. So, yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, you know what, Bruce, I'll do it for you. The NBA is unwatchable. That's why they need gimmicks of, you know, in-season tournaments. That's why they need to keep tinkering with a game that you inherited that was good to try to make it interesting. When, in retrospect, okay, the product isn't as good as it used to be. And don't remember what got you to where you are, but forget about what you didn't do. And it goes back to the drama and all the headaches. So, you know,
I'll tell you one thing before I give it over to you guys. Another thing that's been a thorn in my rear, and basically ever since they changed the name, the Washington Redskins, that's my team I grew up with on the NFC side of things, being a Pittsburgh boy, loving my Steelers. But the NFL stepped in the other day and basically docked them. $100,000, Ron Rivera stripped the team of two OTA practices in 2023 for conducting excessive contact in spring drills. I mean, how many times have I seen this team brought to the forefront, whether it's, you know, topless cruises, excessive other things going on? Daniel Snyder has been rumored to be stripped of this team soon. I mean, it's just, can we play football in Washington, guys? I mean, why does this always keep coming up, or why do they keep bringing it up? You know, it just, I just think the NFL has it in for the Washington Redskins. I really do. And it seems like it's just, you know, it's kind of like scolding your kid. Okay, the kid was bad that day. Let's not have excessive punishment here with this team. Bruce, any thought to that? We'll give it over to Scott, because I think it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, there's going to – excuse me. It's not going to be It's not going to be just them, too. I think Cleveland's going to get it on the Deshaun Watson thing. I don't know how to comment on that. I mean, there is a bunch of idiocy going on there as well, but I'm not thinking they're going to single them out. Come on, Snyder's been dumb for a long time. And I do agree with the gimmicky thing again, Scott. But that's not the players. It's the guys at the top. And another thing we have to acknowledge too is that there were a lot less teams in the leagues a while back. You've just got massive expansion, and let's face it, that will dilute the quality of the players. There is going to be too many players. The pool is not as good with too many teams, so that also has something to do with it. You're going to have a lot more lesser teams when you have decided to put them in a bunch of cities, which eventually isn't going to work because the attendance won't be showing up because that team is so bad. So, the gimmicky things I don't like. I don't like all the play-in tournaments. I don't like that mass expansion of playoffs in the least. It's all about money. It's not really about the players. And it's certain, and I guess it's about getting certain fans in certain cities to sell out and getting more revenue. But I agree with you on the gimmicks. I can't the play-in tournaments, all of that stuff. And, you know, with the expansion, for better or worse, the talent pool will be diluted because there's a lot more players playing the game.
Yeah, you know what?
Scott, let me just interrupt here for 1 second real fast. Big Daniel out of Waco, Texas, chiming in, listening to the show. He said, first of all, let me lay the groundwork to you guys. You need to acknowledge me. The 49ers, I haven't been relevant in years. The Steelers suck. The Redskins suck. And nobody cares about the 72 Dolphins. Continue on with your parade. Oh, God.
There you go.
Big D and Dad in Waco, Texas.
All right, well, for a lot of you people out there, they are the Commanders, even though they're not acting like Commanders. They're acting like fill in the blank. Number two, Jack Kent Cook isn't walking through that door because he ran it the right way. Daniel Snyder once upon a time tried to charge the fans money to attend training camp and practices, so you knew where that was going to go. Joe Gibbs could not go out there and say that. I think they did get in the playoffs one or two times, but you'd have to really work Google hard about the time that Google, Joe Gibbs, and Dan Snyder saw playoffs, okay? Mike Shanahan, you had a lot of winning Super Bowls. So Commanders, Redskins, they've been dysfunctional. But the problem is a lot of teams are starting to get Dr. OTAs right now because they're all pushing their buttons. I don't care. I'm not going to pick on Washington here because they're all doing it. Now, in terms of the play-in, I don't have a problem with that. That may be one of the few things that Silver does. You're only talking one or two games. It doesn't matter. I don't think expansion is going to dilute it a whole lot. The one thing about sports is this. If you have good, sound management and you make wise personnel decisions, whether you got 16 teams in the playoffs, 20, it doesn't matter. You got to hit your draft choices. You got to make timely trades, be competitive, and then the results take care of themselves. It doesn't matter what era. The problem is when you're starting to play in eras where it's too finesse, you're playing patty cake, baker's man, and chess is the game to play. And then that's when you got a problem in terms of the quality of the play, the competition, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't mind the play-in tournament. Big deal. What's one or two extra games? It doesn't matter. That isn't a big deal. You know, you never know who's going to come in. Once upon a time, the NCAA was 48 teams, and now you're one up to 68. Marquette, many years ago, walked in as the 44th seed and ended up winning the NCAA championship under Al McGuire. So I don't have a problem with other teams getting in. The whole idea is when you start tinkering with it too much, it all comes down to drafting, making crafty trades, and making sure you develop the players you have and trying to keep them to the best of your ability. In terms of breaking the rules, OTAs doesn't matter. As far as Daniel Snyder, well, they ran Donald Sterling out of the league, so you might as well never know what's going to happen with Snyder. Who knows what's going to play out there. But Commanders, Redskins, it doesn't matter what the name is. The draft has been awful for a lot of years.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking the three of us on this show represent three of the teams, and there's five of them, that have the worst attendance in baseball. You're out there in Oakland, Bruce. I'm a Pittsburgh boy. Scott's, covers the Marlins. And the other two teams that have bad attendance is Cleveland and Tampa. You want to talk about rules and ghost runners and all this other stuff. You know, when I see this stat out here, the first thing that catches my mind is Oakland, the rich tradition there, Pittsburgh, the rich tradition there, Cleveland, who had a good run in the 90s and everything, Miami that's got a couple titles, Tampa that's been very consistent. Why are these five teams at the bottom of attendance? Bruce, you first. We'll give it over to Scott, and then hopefully we have time for Scott to throw a topic out there with 9 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Oakland's it's bad management, one that alienates the city and the fans. And, yes, the Coliseum is not a good stadium, but this has been going on for 20 years. This has been discussed, talked about. This is more management, I think, than the politicians here. They talked about moving to Fremont. They've talked about different sites in Oakland, including a Laney College and the Howard Terminal. The simple answer is you've got a lot of space at the Coliseum. Build it there. It's kind of separate from the neighborhood, which is not that great a neighborhood. But, I mean, if you actually had a lot of people there and a lot of attendance, you wouldn't have criminals going down there. There'd be too many people. That's the Oakland situation. I don't know that much about the Marlins situation. I think Tampa Bay, that's the stadium as well. That stadium is a dump. They've got a good team, good management, consistent. They should be coming out. Oakland right now is on a self-destruct. The A's are on a self-destruct situation. I think he's trying to move them out of town. It's as simple as that. And John Fisher is not a baseball guy. He's real estate. He doesn't really show his face. You've all got Dave Tavall doing all the talking while he's sitting back there making money because they have revenue sharing here. He doesn't care. That I can explain that for Oakland and Tampa. I don't understand Pittsburgh. It looks like they're improving. And Cleveland is what it is. nice stadium. They should be showing up. Oh, they did beat the Dodgers yesterday, by the way, 2-1. Anyway,
we got 5 minutes left in the show. Let's give it over to Scott. Good take on that, Bruce. In a couple minutes, Scott, tell us what your take is on this.
All right. Cleveland resolves itself, okay? Right now they're in a transition period where they're not sure if they're going to rebuild, but they'll be okay. I think Cleveland will be fine. They've put big crowds over at that stadium. I wouldn't worry about them. Pittsburgh's a great sports town. I do always believe that in my mind. Just put together a good product. Tampa, I've always said, put the stadium in Tampa. Don't put it in St. Petersburg. And they're also, and the best thing that came out of all week was that Rob Manfred said, both Tampa and Oakland, let's get these things straight, or relocation is a possibility. So Rob Manfred did all of our talking for us. You guys are on the clock, urgency, blah, blah, blah. And for all those cities vouching for stadiums that we want an expansion team, build it, and then you will come. And none of them have done it. I don't care if you're Charlotte, Nashville, wherever, Montreal, I don't think they're going to get one anytime soon until they get a stadium. So build these stadiums, make sure that they're Major League Baseball acceptable these days with 35,000 for amount of suites in there, you'll be all right. Oakland situation, we know, is a lame duck situation. Who's at fault? Well, like you said, Bruce, been going a long time. So Miami, bad location, okay, down in, by the Orange Bowl. But, you know, I still think they can put 20,000 people in there. You just have to put competitive teams out there as well. Once upon a time, the Orange Bowl used to put 75,000 people. There's no reason why the Marlins should be able to draw 25,000. But a lot of them are on budgets that aren't very high right now either. So if you go out there and put together a good product, you'll be all right. You talked about the Milwaukee show, right, Mark? Okay, we talked about Fire Up Wisconsin. Milwaukee Brewers can put 35, 40,000 people in their sleep over at Miller Park. Why? They're a small market, right, Mark? Doesn't matter.
Right.
Another baseball in a blue-collar town, they'll show up. So I'm not blaming everything on everywhere. You know, you get what you pay for. And the problem is when the product is more expensive these days, people don't want to spend their money. And more importantly, they have access to TV and streaming. So I think that all factors into it. So no fault of Pittsburgh.
Jeremy from Bucks County, PA, said, I've seen Scott Morgenroth on some of these shows across the country. I can't tell if he's related to Jimmy Leland or the guy in Major League that was the manager.
Well, telling him I'm more related to Ernie Harwell. He was my uncle, my adopted uncle, the legendary broadcaster. And if he wants to follow me, then he can go through you to do it, because Ernie and I were as close as two people could be. So tell the fan here, thank you very much for comment. Appreciate him listening every week. And I'm glad that I can be mentioned in the Jim Leland comparison. And I've met Jim a few times. He's a super nice guy, so I have no complaints. If he wants to go ahead and find my picture of Jim Leland, we'll give him my social media.
Well, we got Carl coming in from Goodyear, Arizona. He says, guys, I'm going to throw a topic out there. Give me the five best managers from the 60s to now, next week. Woo, get your list going, guys. I'll throw that thing out there next week. I got five good ones, man. That's a good question, Carl. We'll jump on that.
Yeah.
Pass that on to Bruce and Scott. And as we wind this thing down, Scott, you're going to have to lead off next week with your topic, because we're running out of time. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend, because you're all over the place.
I am, just like you, Mark. Guinness Book World Records, man. Seeing it'll be your new nickname. www.southfloridatribune.com is the website. Twitter, @TribuneSouth. And once again, I can't emphasize enough to you folks, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, please subscribe. That way you can see everything I have on my network, Mark Mancini and Bruce Kessinger down the road. So love being on the show every week, and enjoy working with you folks out in the Oakland area. Really, I look forward to it every week.
Well, we're looking forward to having you here. Bruce, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend.
Yes, you can get a hold of me at holyroller91978@gmail.com, and I am on Facebook, and it's always a pleasure having you, Scott.
Well, you know what? I'll be in.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Just to answer, yep, exactly. Just to answer Carl out there in Goodyear, Arizona, the first guy on my list to start this thing off, and you guys can get your list going, will be Sparky Anderson at the top of that. Sparky Anderson is on my list as a top guy, so I'll throw the other four. Scott Morgenroth out there in sunny South Florida. get on that YouTube Sports Tribune channel and get, you know, Miami, Detroit, he's all over the place. He's got Milwaukee going with his lovely wife and Eric Katz out there. Bruce out there, man, has made a move. He's in the Oakland thing. We have pleasure with him and Breck and everybody. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, will catch you next week. Same time, same channel. Till then, have a blessed weekend and a happy Father's Day.